There's something I want to do in John chapter 10, and what I'd like to do is, you know, even though we did cover, when we did the I Am's, we covered that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We covered that, but I felt like I didn't take a whole lot of time to really cover sheep. And so we talked about the shepherd, and so I want to put a little bit more emphasis today on the sheep, because the Bible says when we get saved, we're part of the sheep fold, right? He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He's the good shepherd, and we're the ones supposed to follow. So let's just cover John chapter 10. I'm going to hammer some verses down through here, take some good notes. Let's just enjoy God's word this morning. And hey, thanks for all the gifts, and you know, it's a privilege. You know, me and Bo get paychecks here, and which is weird. Especially when the church is struggling, you get a paycheck, you're like, my gosh, man, I feel like we're the biggest burden on the church sometimes. And just all those gifts, you know, it means a lot. I don't know who came up with the Pastor Appreciation Month, but I'm with Terry. I think we need to go with the Pastor Appreciation Year thing, you know. I mean that when I say that. You know, it's a privilege. There's a lot of responsibility when you own a company or when you're a head of a home, if you take your house serious as a man of your home. Just a lot of pressure, a lot of responsibility. But sometimes I get overwhelmed by the pressure. And yet, sometimes I have to go back to a spot where I realize there was a time in my life where I was lost without Christ. And He saved me. I became part of the family. And then as I've grown and matured, He asked me to work for Him. He called me to be a shepherd, to be a pastor. And He's the good shepherd. Peter says He's the chief shepherd. So I think a lot of pastors, I don't want to pull that card like it's a dictatorship or anything like that. No, but I'm one of you. We're all the same, and we're part of this sheepfold. And I'm thankful for the Maple City Baptist Church. And guys, sometimes it does for me, it takes... When things ain't looking good, I've had so many negative comments over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we've had so many, had our teeth, I've had my, you know, like a prize fighter, man. I've had my nose broken a few times. I've had teeth put back in place, all that type of thing. And there's something in me that God just says, hey, keep fighting, dude. Keep fighting. And even though I got a bill for the dentist over the whole thing, it's worth it. And then I hear of a little church up the road that hasn't had a pastor for a while. And Jesus Christ clearly brings that up several times where He says, I have compassion on those people because they're like sheep with no shepherd. And then, of course, we got another call from another church. So I guess I focus on the responsibility and the pressure, but I think maybe I need to focus a little bit more on the privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor to be called pastor. It's an honor for people to come to you and even seeking God's word, because you know when you come to me, I just point you to the Bible. You got the same Bible I got, you know, but I get it. Sometimes we need counsel and people in our lives, so I'm thankful. I don't know where I'd be. I think everybody knows that's been here a while. When I was a young pastor, I was here by myself. I was a youth pastor. The pastor left the church, and so I was here as a young man. I didn't know what to do. And so I was a guy that don't like to read very much. I went through Bible school and did okay. But so I started reading books. I was like, God, I got to figure this out. I don't have nobody to help me. And so I started reading books like crazy, trying to find older gentlemen that have been in the ministry longer. And by the way, they're few and far between. It's amazing to me. It used to be pastors. You'd frequently see a pastor, an older gentleman that was pushing 70 years old that would stand up and preach. He was a sage, you know. I mean, how many people got, we live in a culture now where dads don't even stay in their homes. Dads are gone, let alone having a grandfather that's a patriarch of the family, you know. Like, we've lost some of that through time. And so in the ministry, it's no different. I can't find people that have been older and have been there and done that. And a lot of them sin. They've fallen into sin. They've chosen an easier path. The church that I'm from, they literally just... They totally changed face. They've changed doctrine. They changed their name. They've got a staff of people now that half of them me and Bo both don't even really know them. You almost feel like an orphan, you know? Like, man, here we are. And so I got a hold of a book years ago. It was, you might know of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren. It was on the bestseller list for like 2 months straight. That book, whatever, I think it's, compared to our discipleship lessons, that book is, you know, to me it's a caramel apple, you know, it's just okay. But he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. And I thought, I need that book. Our church needs some purpose. Years ago, before Bo and Carrie even moved here, I read that book and I devoured it. This pastor in this book, he took the time to go around to fundamental churches, not just the biggest, but churches all over the United States that had done the right thing. They had preached the Bible. They were a church that made disciples. They were seeing lives change, and they were supporting missions. He said, I went to those churches that were healthy, that were doing the job, and I asked the pastor if I could take them out to lunch. So he bought plane tickets. There was times he'd fly four states away in the morning and come home at night. He'd meet with these pastors, and he says, Pastor, I'm just out to learn. Please help me. And so he came to some conclusions, and listen at this one. Churches that did the right thing, churches that were doing ministry, investing in people, seeing people saved, people discipled, churches that were supporting missions all over the world, those churches, he said, one thing they had in common, the good ones. You know what it was? The pastor had been there for a long time. I read that day. I'm 22 years old. And I read it and I said, hey God, I'm prone to wander. I like construction work because you're always moving. You're outdoors. You're at a different location all the time. I worked in a couple factories before where you walked in through the same doors every day, and it just made me crazy. Like I don't know if my personality, ADHD, what it is, but I couldn't do it. And so, but I said, God, please help me to stay here a long time. I need help because I'm prone to wander. I hear noise and I want to come out of my office. Bo's talking with somebody out here. They came and talked with him. Not me, but I want to talk too. So I come out of my office half the time to say, hey, I thought I heard something out here, you know. But hey guys, I'm 54 years old today. God has answered that prayer. I'm not one of those guys that say, man, I look at this church. Look how big we are after all these years. Oh, we've been big before. We've been high. We've been low. We've been big. We've been small. I mean, I can count the height of our vision conference where there was not enough chairs and we were this is our third building we've been in. Like, you know, whatever people think success is, we've ridden the roller coaster of ministry. And I'm just here to say God has been incredibly faithful, incredibly faithful. And I'm so thankful that he kept me here. And there was a time when I prayed that prayer, it was within the next year of my life that I had chosen some sin in my life and I had fallen into a real sinful pattern and I had a rut in my life and it reached the point in that year as a young pastor, I realized I don't think I'm cut out for this. I don't think I can do ministry. I don't think I don't have the character enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm prone to wander. I'm like, my gosh, you know. I'm not normal. I'd meet other pastors. I'm like, they like to wear Dockers. They like polo shirts. I hate both of those things. And I sat down with a group of men in our church at the time, just a handful of them, and around a table. And I said, guys, I'm not here to talk about church business. I'm here to confess some sin. I want to tell you who your pastor is. And I begin to unfold my life. I let them see behind the curtain that I look like the Great Oz, but deep down I'm a midget. And what do you call him? A little guy? And that night, I just remember around the table, and one of those men was Bob Berry. Mark, I think you were in that room that day. And I'm telling you, Mark Davies, these guys got around me, and they said, hey, dude, they prayed for me. They said, you need help. You need accountability. I said, well, I thought maybe I should just step back. I don't want to quit the church, but I need to quit being a pastor. And guys, it was that day I'd realized something great. It was the church. In a lot of ways, the church saved my life. I think if I was in a bigger church, I would have went down the tubes, man. I think I'd have went down the drain. I really believe that. When you got a little church, everybody's in your business. You see each other often. It's harder to hide. You know, you're like, my wife always said, man, ministry here is like, I feel like I'm a goldfish in a fishbowl. Everybody can see around you and see everything, you know. And I was like, it kind of is. That's why, man, you better live straight because you're going to get caught. And I was on the verge that day of getting caught, you know. But anyways, I just want to say thank you because way back in history, here I am, 54 years old. I got a lot of fight left in me. So I think that's all I got in me. I had a guy who left the church here not too long ago, and he just said, you know, he goes, I can tell you're from the projects because every time something goes down, you get fired up like you want to fight something. I was like, what else am I supposed to do? You get down and you get back up. You get up and you swing. I don't know. Ain't that how it works? It's not always been pretty. I've not always said the perfect thing. But by the grace of God, a righteous man falls seven times, yet riseth again. And so here we are this morning. And I just want to give a little plug out for the church, for ministry, and how difficult it is and how lovely it is. It's a disaster. But it's beautiful. It's just like me. It's just like you. Just a beautiful disaster. What Jesus has done is pretty unbelievable. But believe it today. Because here we are. Amen. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 1. It says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Guys, let's talk about sheep this morning, because the Bible gives us that title. We're sheep, and it's not always a great thing, but I just want to point out a few things about sheep. I'll rattle them off, take notes where you want to, and hopefully we'll have a good time together. It says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, verse 1. The sheepfold. What is a sheepfold? Well, if you look at sheepfold in God's Word, you know, sheep are never good by themselves. You never find like a sheep just like, you know what? I think I'm going to go over there and attack somebody. I'm going to grab that over there and I'm going to eat that thing, you know. Sheep are like rabbits. They're good for nothing but to be eaten, you know. And maybe you can pet them. They're good to make clothing out of their, you know, their wool. But I want you to know that God puts the emphasis here in verse 1 and talks about the shepherd and sheep. But it mentions just sheepfold. Guys, listen. One bad thing about a sheep, they're prone to wander. And when sheep wander, they're prone to die. Because they can't fight. They're not good by themselves. One thing the Bible says about this sheepfold, you know what a sheepfold is? A sheepfold is a place where we belong. We're together. We're a club. We're a gang. That's why people, you know, people that don't have like good fathers in their home, you always watch men and women both. They end up like with the wrong crowd of people. And sometimes you're like, how did that girl end up with those? How did that guy end up with those people? Well, it's easy. Everybody wants a place to belong. And you just have some dipweed, you know, and Christians, you know, Christians are so difficult and they're so hard on people. No wonder people, it's easy to go to the tavern. It's easy to go to a place where people will accept you and know your name. They know your name there. You just feel like you belong. There's two reasons for a sheepfold. One would be common sense. It's for protection. You know, that's why a shepherd needs to be with sheep. But a guy that like is kind of like, you know, if you think of more like a farmer or a herder, a guy that a lot of times he likes to have a place where there's walls and there's hedges where he can keep them corralled. Because you know why? We're stronger together. The lion roars, and the reason he'll roar is it spooks everybody, and they scatter. And in the midst of scattering, there's always an elderly one or a young one that can't quite keep up. They always get eaten first. They always get attacked because you know why? They're scattered. They're away from the fold. Protection. You can write down Numbers 32:16, and it just talks about walls and hedges for protection. And by the way, we're sheep, and here we are Sunday morning gathered. You know why we gather together here? We're a gang. We're the greatest force on planet Earth, right? The local church. We're a gang together. We're a safety net of people. This is why in Hebrews 10:25 he says, hey, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Can you be a Christian without going to church? Of course you can. Can you be a healthy, growing Christian and not be connected to church? No. You will never be healthy. As a matter of fact, you're vulnerable, is what the Bible says. That's why when COVID came into our lives 5 years ago and they started telling people to separate. They started telling people, separate, don't be in crowds, don't have this many people, wear masks. Churches, no church. Some places, some cities even, they forbid it. There was places up in Chicago where they had people that parked on the street around church. They were giving them tickets, man. They were like causing all kinds of trouble when we're better together. And it's healthy that way. But it's funny because now a guy went to the movies here in our church on Friday night. And he said, man, I bet there was 8 people in that theater. Man, you used to go to the movie on a Friday night. You had to look for seats. You had to go, and if you had 4 in your family, you'd be like, man, I hope we can sit together, you know. I went to a fast food restaurant last night, later at night, and I went in there, and we was the only people in there. I was like, man, there'd have been a time on a Saturday night. There'd have been, heck, even groups of teenagers hanging out in there. You know, times have changed, haven't they? And by the way, don't think for a second it's good. Our culture's very broken right now. And you would think that having devices and screens, that like you just get this mentality that like, oh, that's social media. This is media so we can be social. Don't buy into it. It's actually separated everybody. It's made a whole culture that's just not real. They're phony. And you got people that everybody knows, that guy is a jerk. That guy treats his family like cat litter. And then all of a sudden, you look at the profile picture, his wife just says, man, 10 years together. You know, they're smiling. You're just like, I know these people. That is not true. They hate each other, you know. But social media does that for us, doesn't it? Do you know the book of Ecclesiastes says 2 are better than 1? Because if one falls, the other can pick the other up. You know how it is. Now, I know that's just 1 and 2, but even just if you think of 1 and 2, think of corn bin. Be careful messing around in there. And usually they try to say, do it in partnerships. Because once you get stuck and you get caught, sometimes there's no getting out. You need somebody with you. This is what the church is for. Everybody loves in California, all them redwoods, the massive trees along the coastline. The reason why these redwoods, by the way, they get like, some of them are 300 feet tall. Some of them, there's been redwoods that have measured 40 feet in diameter. Some of them have been around for up to 250 years. They're magnificent. The reason they're so massive, the reason they do so well, is underground. There's a root system, and they intertwine in the ground and with each other's roots. That's why redwoods is never usually by themselves. They're usually in groves together, you know? If you don't intertwine, then you don't grow. That's the principle here. No connectedness, no growth. Welcome to church. This is where you can grow. A group of people that are just like you, they're real. Sometimes you'll walk into churches and think, them people, it's like they're perfect. No, unfortunately, sometimes you just think, maybe the word you're looking for is sanitary. I get it. You walk into church and you're like, my gosh, I'll never be like her. I'll never be like that guy. Church was never supposed to be that way. What, now you're fake? Well, yeah. Put on your Sunday best because it's bad the rest of the week. You know, I watched a mom taking her 2 kids into a counselor. What was it this week? Teachers' conferences. This mom gets out of the car, and you could tell her kids were hellions, man. It was me and my brother, man. She pulled them out of the car, and she's like, and she looked at her youngest when he was about this tall, and she's just like, you be on your best behavior when you get in there. Like, she's jerking him by his collar. He hadn't even done nothing yet, but she knows her kid, you know? And what's funny is when they come back out, you know, we were like, what's up, boys? They've been to our VBS. You know, it's like, hey, you know. There was another kid that came by on his bike later. I could tell that we were pouring some concrete, and he was looking at the concrete, and I was like, I know what you're thinking, mister. And you know what he said to me? He goes, you know me? I said, you look familiar, but I don't think, you know. And he goes, I'll go to your church. He goes, I'm in Sunday school every week. I said, sure, I know you. I lied. I was like, man. No, he did. He told me, because I've been coming. And he came in VBS for the first time. But I was like, hey, I do remember your face. I'm just not over there in that building all the time, you know. So two are better than one, right? It's the Redwood principle. Guys, if you're going to grow, you need to be part of a sheepfold. Some of you are still on the outskirts. You're here this morning, but I mean really connected. And I don't mean we all have to be the same. I know there's different levels of growth, and God's made all, that's what makes us healthy. We're all so different. If we come together, we can really be something, you know. And so I always just think of it like kind of like a band up here, you know. You got to make, you know, everybody's got to, I got to be tuned. Mike's got to be tuned. Terry tunes his drums more than we tune the guitars. That's odd, isn't it? But yeah, that's why they sound so good. But everybody has their piece and part. You got to come together, but like I can't play drums. And so like timing, you know, we struggle with timing this week and practice on a certain song. And after a bit, I'm just like, I think you're wrong. No, I think you're wrong. No, but you stop this. We're working it back and forth. But you know what we're trying to do? We're working it. We're working it. And at the end of the day, when we're here, guess what? Terry's the drummer. Like, if we think a song's too fast, it don't matter what you think. You're playing it fast then, you know? That's how you work together, you know? He keeps us on the rails. That's how we do this thing. Everybody's got a different piece and a part. And then when you do it right, it comes together. And it's beautiful. You got some harmony there. It's just beautiful music. There's no reason why when Adam was in the garden, he had a relationship with God, and God comes along in Genesis 2:18. He says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. Hey, listen to me. It's not good that you don't have any friends. Real friends. I'm not talking about co-workers. Them are like acquaintances. It's not good that you're by yourself. It's really not. And I hope this morning's message would speak to your heart, you know. Remember that little pygmy guy? That he was standing over top of a rhino that just got killed. And man, people come along and goes, oh my gosh. Like, how'd you kill this big thing? This little pygmy said, with my club. They're like, well, what kind of club are you swinging, man? Like, how? He's like, well, no, I got a club. There's about 100 of us. And that's how we killed this rhino. All of us did it together. I hope you have a club, and I hope your club is the local church. This church is for protection, by the way. It's just like a fold. But this church is also for privileged. You know, members only really belong here. I hope people can come off the street. We want people from the neighborhood. We invite people in the neighborhood sometimes. Come on in. We want people. But to belong to the sheepfold, you know, membership, remember the old commercial? Membership has its privileges. It sure does. Membership has its privileges. And I know everybody thinks, well, everybody should belong. But I got news for you. I do not attend the quilting club in town that meets up at the Scrum Center. I don't quilt. I like quilts. I don't even care to learn to quilt. Why would I belong to their club? Weird, isn't it? Our world has this, like, everybody all in. Check this out. We were at Monmouth College doing a Bible study. And you had to get recognized by the college. And at one point, the college said, well, you have to sign this paper. And there's a few rules they have. And one of their things in there was just, like, anybody can be in your leadership. I was like, that's weird. So, yeah, you can't, like, exclude people. Anybody that wants to be a part of your little group or your leadership where you make decisions, anybody can come in and do that. I don't know about you. Is that strange? I'm like, hey, dude, why are you on the women's swim team? They got a men's swim team over here. Isn't that weird? Why don't just somebody stand up and just say, weird, stop it. That's ridiculous. You know? Okay, you don't like guns. Well, then don't join the gun club, you know? There's people that like to hunt. And some of you are like, I don't like that at all. Well, then don't join the gun club. Why are you going to go there and cause trouble with the gun club? Isn't that funny? But we got a sheepfold, and the Bible makes it really clear. Matter of fact, look here in John 10, look down at verse 26. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. See, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe in Jesus, you're not part of the sheepfold. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay. We want you part of the sheepfold, but you need to know Jesus Christ. Here's a big warning. If you don't believe, you're not part of the fold. And by the way, you know what the Bible says to get eternal life? The Bible says we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And when he becomes your shepherd, guess what? You're part of the sheepfold. You're in. If you don't know Jesus Christ or you're not a Christian, guess what? You're not in the club. We like you. It's kind of like the, you know, they got everywhere now has got an LGBTQ club. And like, which I always thought that was a sandwich, but it's not. It's actually, usually it's people that, you know, gender change, it could be sexual preferences, all that type of thing, you know. People can be gay, you know. That's okay, but guess what? They can have a club because they come together and they're all, they kind of have a similar things they believe about the world, about themselves. I'm not going to join that club. And it's okay. Now the problem is if I'm looking for sticks of dynamite to blow people's clubs up, that's ridiculous. That's where it gets crazy and people always think the extreme on that type of thing, you know. Hey, by the way, like if you vote Republican, then don't go to the Democratic Party's club. That's what happens now. You know, there'll be like a Democratic, you know, a Democratic group of people, and they'll put a Democratic politician up, and they begin to talk. And then there's people out in the crowd that are obviously like Republicans, and they're out there like protesting and screaming and yelling, like, what are you clowns doing? Like, the Republican group's over here. Isn't that, that always strikes me as weird. Now, if it's an injustice issue, hey, we can protest peacefully. I can deal with some of that. But just what's crazy to me is it's almost just like, well, like everybody needs to belong. Yeah, but if you're not gay, you're not going to be in the gay club. Don't that make sense? If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if He is not your shepherd, you're not part of the sheepfold. Right? I mean, the Bible's clear about it. They don't believe and they're not part of us. And some people act like it, you know, but they can act any way they want to. But I'm here to tell you, they're not part of the club. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is clear about that. Right? You not just only believe in Jesus, but you, with His name, you pronounce Him as Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when saved people come together, guess what you got? Church. That's the church. That's the assembly of people together. Yeah, it's a protection, but guys, it's also a privilege to be part of this family, you know. Some churches, they look so square and so straight, people can't get in the doors. They become a family and they love each other. People can't penetrate the walls. They've been together too long. They know the lingo. They got little things they say together, right? Nobody knows that lingo but them. And unfortunately, they become a... And by the way, I've been to churches like this. And that's why Bob Bear is like, dude, why are you dressed like that? And he's just like, well, I'm going to a church. He goes, Mike, they're a little more traditional than we are. I get it, right? They've been together for a long time. But what I like to call a church, a real church, is like, if we're a club, we're like the League of the Guilty, man. That's what we're like. We're all like, man, sinners, saved by grace. You know, we had some shame in the League of the Guilty, and we come together and we say, Jesus, you're our Savior, man. You're the hero of this, right? Sin in your life, something you're trying to get victory over, you need a little bit of hope, you know, we come together, don't we? We pray together. That's what we do. This is the club right here. This is the sheepfold. Notice in verse 2, he says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I like that. It's not only that you enter in by the door. If you go to verse 7, Jesus Christ even says, and by the way, I am the door of the sheep. So check this out. Sheepfold, there's one way in. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. It is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one door. There's no way in. Anybody that tries to get in any other way, the Bible says that's a thief. That's a robber. It's like I had a friend of mine in Burlington who actually got shot by his wife. Well, let me tell you the story. The reason she shot him was they're a rougher group of people. And me and him worked together for like 2 years. And we'd travel and just, we mainly did concrete type of work. And well, then he got into some trouble and he had to do some time in prison. So now she's raising the two boys in the house. And like he gets out. He gets out of prison, and the first night you're out of prison, you want to see all of the people you hang with, right? That's what he did. So he went out like night number one. He's out there doing his thing, man. He comes home drunk. Mama's got the doors locked. Well, they live in a little ranch home there right in West Burlington, and he decided he'd just crawl through the bedroom window. Well, it opened up, and she just seen a body in, and she's bam! You know, and she shot him, you know. I was like, holy night. The bottom line is this. We don't have to crawl in. We don't have to go through a window. I've heard a guy say this once. Hey, if God closes a door, just look for an open window. Do not do that. Somebody's going to shoot you. It don't work that way. If it's your home, you got the keys. If it's your home, go through the door. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, man, guess what? We're part of the fold, right? We're part of the fold. Not everybody belongs. Is, you know, and there's certain people you just say like, hey, what are you knocking for? You ever have people in your life like that? They're not necessarily blood family, but you know them well enough. They come in, you're like, what are you knocking for? Bam, 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 bam. You're like, especially what's weird to me too is like, I knew they were supposed to come over at 6. They knew they're, hey, we're cook out at 6. Come on over. A couple of families are coming over. Bam, 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 bam. I'm like, hey, knucklehead, what? Like, we made an appointment, like, this is, we're going to eat together? Like, that kind of makes us family sitting around a table. Come in, you know. And then their kids are trailing behind them, and so the door shuts behind them, and then all of a sudden, another knock at the door. Now your kids are knocking. See, you're teaching this ignorant behavior. You belong here, man. You belong here. You know, and if you get the right to come into somebody's door, man, you are part of the sheepfold, right? Unless it's a bathroom door, always knock on the bathroom door. I learned that the hard way at Casey's. Always knock. That was back before they remodeled when there was just one bathroom, one toilet, right? The doors, I should have knocked. I'm telling you, it was not closed. So I just opened right up and I was just like, my gosh. That was the first time in my life I seen, well, I won't tell you what I seen. It was awful. I said, ma'am, I am sorry. I feel horrible about this. I am the door of the sheep. By the way, the controlling of the sheepfold is one door, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you know him? That's the question. Do you know Christ? That's how you get in the sheepfold. If you know him, you're in. It's a privilege. And guys, and some of you, like, it's like people, it's the sheepfold. And like, I've literally had people call me before and just say, hey, I know things didn't go so well, but I didn't know if I could come to church. You know, I was like, are you kidding me? We both have the same door in our life. It's Christ, man. We're the sheepfold, right? Isn't that beautiful how that works? I am the door of the sheep. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's one way. It's Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody else tell you any different. It's what the Bible says. Check this out in verse 3. Verse 3 says, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. This is key. It's a privilege. The sheep hear his voice. We know the voice. Guys, I don't know if you realize this or not. Check this out. There's a story in John 12. Write it down, look it up later. John chapter 12, Jesus Christ is doing some business with his Father. And God the Father calls down. Jesus hears clearly. Everybody around that wasn't part of that fold, they're not a child of God. Everybody around goes, what? They heard noise. Matter of fact, they heard it to the point where they're like, it thundered. See, they don't recognize the voice. They don't hear it. You got to be a child of God to hear that voice, right? You got to be part of the sheep to recognize the shepherd's voice. I love that passage. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that this book right here, a lot of people say, I don't understand the Bible. Maybe it's because you don't know the voice because he's not your shepherd. It's spiritually discerned. You just can't open this Bible. It don't read just like a little news article. It's not like a little blurb. It's not another TikTok in the morning. You sometimes just want to go, oh, I didn't know that. It don't work quite that way. But I'm here to tell you, it's spiritually discerned. So if you have the Spirit inside of you, you meet Jesus Christ, you're saved, you're part of the fold. And guess what? You can hear His voice. And that's why we do discipleship, or to teach people how to get in the Bible for yourself. Learn. I don't buy, you know, cult groups, they always buy into one leader, one manipulator in the group trying to tell people what to believe. Don't do that business. Learn the Bible. Learn what He says. And all of a sudden, some people just say, well, ask the pastor. And usually what I'm going to say is, man, have you studied this out for yourself? Because we teach classes on how to do that. You can get in the Bible for yourself, right? And learn God's Word. I'm not the Pope. I can't forgive sins. If I could do that, that means that I would be sinless. And anybody that knows me would say, that's not Him. No, but I'm part of the sheepfold. I know the Shepherd. And I recognize His voice. So, hey, if you could, go down to verse 14 here in John. John 10. Go down to verse 14. He says this. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of mine. So check this out. He's the good shepherd. We'll talk about good here in a minute. But two things here I want to point out. He says, I know my sheep and I'm known of the sheep. So to be known and to know. This is what people are looking for in life. This is what they want. And, you know, they've done studies for years on kids. You know, kids are not meant to be orphans, man. Orphans don't have a home. Foster kids have a different home every couple weeks or maybe month. It's not healthy. Kids always do better in an environment that they can call home. Christians always do better around a group of people, a place that this is home. This is my people. This is where the shepherd is, right? And so he says in Psalms 139, verse 1, I like where it says, search me, He searches me, and He knows me. Guys, God knows you, He knows your heart. Now, my wife knows me. Nobody knows me better, human-wise, than my wife. Like, I share things with her. She has seen things that I'd be embarrassed to show you. But she knows me. Does she know everything about me? Well, she don't know every motive I have. She don't know every thought that I've entertained. But there is one that does. My shepherd, He knows me. Matter of fact, that's what makes Jesus so dangerous. He'd walk into a situation, the Bible says, He knew what they were thinking. What? Yeah, He was a superhero. He walked in and knew exactly what was going on, whether it was disciples or religious leaders. This is Jesus. So humanly, it's nice to have people that knows you. That's what I love about the sheepfold. But then in behind the scenes, there is one that knows. He knows me. Guys, here's what's crazy about it. My wife is still married to me. Like, we're still together. The freak about it is that she knows me. That's what's crazy about it. And she still stays with me? Yeah, she knows me and loves me. That's how you know you got something going on there. Flaws, the little things that nobody knows about me, that only she does, the quirks that I have. The bizarro stuff that most people are like, dude, what's wrong with you? I don't even know. So this is God knows everything about you. He knows your heart. He knows what you thought before. That's why Jesus was so dangerous, you know, because everybody's just like, I ain't never killed anybody. And He's like, have you ever hated anybody so bad that you, like, thought about murder? And He always caught them. They're like, oh, well, I know your heart, dude. I'd never cheat on my wife. Well, have you ever thought about a woman in an inappropriate way? And Jesus is like, you've committed adultery in your heart. See what's so dangerous about it? Boy, does He know. He still laid down His life for us. That's love, guys. He knows everything about you. People sometimes are afraid of that. Like, I think the sheepfold and churches spook people because they're almost like afraid of that. Like, oh my gosh, if they only knew me, I'm not like them. You are 100% just as bad as the rest of us. We're born that way. And Lady Gaga didn't pen that. She stole that from Scripture. We're born in sin. All of us are born in sin. So I love this that he knows me, but then I can know him. In the New Testament, he says over and over again, like even mysteries he'll reveal to us. He'll take this book and just open to us the deep things of the Bible. He'll know, and matter of fact, it even says he'll make things known to us, but I like the way he words it here. He'll make known to us riches, the riches of knowledge, of understanding. The Bible says here that he is not just one that knows us and we can know him, to know and to be known. What a place to be. And they accept us and know us. And I love that movie Tombstone. I like it, man, because, you know, like Doc Holliday's super quirky. People don't like him. He's not only a stone-cold killer, he's smarter than most people. His IQ's through the roof. Yeah, and he did dope all the time. How do you get those two together? But a lot of people didn't like him. And I just loved how Wyatt Earp, sometimes people just want to just fight Doc Holliday, which was not a good idea. And Wyatt Earp would always back his brothers up. He would say, hey, that's just his way, man. He didn't mean nothing by that. It was just neat to say, it ain't good, but it's quirky. It's weird, but we love him. I love him. He's my friend. I always love those lines in there because I'm like, man, to me it reminds me of being part of the body of Christ, of being part of this sheepfold, right? We got a shepherd that loves us and knows us, and a group of people that knows us and loves us. Why? Because I'm just like you and you are just like me. It says in verse 11 here in this passage, it says, I am the good shepherd, man. It mentions several times that he's the good shepherd. By the way, there are bad shepherds out there. There's good dads and bad dads. Good moms, bad moms. Good teachers, bad teachers. There's bad shepherds and there's good shepherds. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I love this because, guys, listen to me. Our God is good. You're doing something wrong when you discipline your kids and spank them, and kids will turn around and be like, you know, they'll either say, I hate you, or they'll make you feel guilty and say, you hate me. Which is kind of comical. What they're really saying is, hey, let me do what I want to because that hurts when I disobey. That's what they're really saying. Don't get too offended by it. But you know, you work them through the Scriptures and teach them that. Sweetie, I got news for you. I'm a good dad. And I love you, man. I'm doing what's best for you, you know. He's a good shepherd, man. That's his essence. That's who God is, man. That's his character. By the way, when you meet Jesus Christ, he puts the Spirit inside of you. You get the fruit of the Spirit, right? There's nine of these character traits that are like God's character. And one of them in there is what? Goodness. All of a sudden you're like, how can that guy? She's like a decent lady now. Oh, don't fool yourself. She wasn't until the good shepherd came along. She met the good shepherd to become part of the sheepfold. And now there is goodness inside of her. There's goodness inside of him. I had a guy one time get mad at me here at the church, and he was a rascal. This guy here was like known for being a rascal, you know, in town. People knew him. His reputation was bad. He got mad at me. I said something to him one day, and he turned around to me and just goes, you know, and he had only been saved like a year. And he goes, if you'd have caught me a year ago, I would, you know, basically he'd whip my tail. But he didn't use the word tail. Man, I'm glad he's part of the sheepfold. Win or lose, I don't want to fight this guy. You know, Mike Tyson was kind of getting beat there for a bit, and you get in some pressure, and Holyfield's busting him a little bit, and they're at each other. And so what's he do? He bites his ear. And there are a lot of people, like, offended, like, why would he bite his ear? And I always thought, why not? Like, you know, that should have been the first thing he did. You know, hey, do you don't want to mess with that guy? He'll bite your ear. That's crazy. Hey, you want to fight Mike Tyson? You ever seen his knockout videos? Oh, they're pretty impressive. But he'll bite your ear. He's an animal, man. I would not mess with that guy. I love being part of the sheepfold. I love being part of the body of Christ. And my shepherd's good. And you know what? I don't bite ears anymore. I've changed. He's placed goodness inside of me. I'm not saying it don't come to my mind sometimes. But it's amazing that somebody would say, you know what I'd have done a year ago? We don't want to know. We don't want to know. Because he's put this kind of fruit inside of you. Because in the flesh, the Bible says, Paul says it, you know, in me, as in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Nothing good in humanness. Oh, that's a nice guy. If he doesn't know the good shepherd, he is not nice. I'm just telling you that. Goodness comes from a good God. The essence of our God is good. Even when bad things tend to happen, what's neat about being a believer is we can hear a voice and we can see the good in it. Other people can't. That's why it's called redemption. Take something that's really bad and all of a sudden he takes something and creates something beautiful out of it. He takes ashes and brings new life. That's what our God does. Matter of fact, he says, and I'll prove it to you guys. And it says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even as I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's exactly what he did. He didn't just say he was a good God or a good shepherd. When danger came along, if you read this passage, I'm not going to read it to you because it'll take us too long, this whole chapter. But if you go like around verse 12, it'll start saying what a bad guy does, a hireling. This guy's not a shepherd. You know what he'll do? He'll see a wolf coming. He's out of there. He's leaving if he's just a hireling. But if you're the owner and these are your sheep, you stay. A good shepherd stays. A good shepherd gathers to protect. And a good shepherd, you know what it says here? A good shepherd cares, because it says in verse 13, a hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know, sometimes you can be a stepmom or a stepdad and you can be fantastic. I know guys that are stepdads, and then this lady split, and so now her children are separated from him. And they still want to see him, and he wants to see them. I'm just like, well, that's a crazy situation, isn't it? People say, is that your dad? Well, yeah. Most people would call him a stepdad. But he cares for me. Nobody's cared for me like him. And this is kind of where we are, these orphaned kids. That the Bible says in John 8, our father was the devil spiritually. We were in sin. And then we met Jesus Christ. God gave his life for us through Jesus Christ. Also, we become part of a fold and a family. Like we're adopted into a family. It feels so weird. Don't it feel weird? I love that movie where Denzel Washington is that ship captain and he brings that young boy in. Remember that? And that young boy's never seen his family. He's been in foster care his whole life. He finally found his real family. I just love the scene where he walks in that room and his family. There's a grandmother, aunts, and uncles he's never met before. They prepared a banquet of food for him. And he walked in the door. They're just like, my gosh. He walks in. He's very uncomfortable. And this old lady looks at him. She's 80 years old. And she just says, and you'll cry watching this thing. The movie's called Antoine Fisher. She said, welcome. I'm getting emotional talking about the stupid movie. It's not a stupid movie. I'm just stupid for crying about it right now. And he comes in and she grabs his hand, and for the first time in his life, it's like, I belong to these people. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Our shepherd's good. He's rich in goodness. He just don't, like, he drips goodness. I'm not talking about the way I'm dressed. He drips goodness. He's got boatloads of it. It's like, oh, everybody can be good, but I got my limit. I'm fixing to run out of my goodness. He never runs out. He's got train loads, truck loads, boatloads of it. My gosh, he's a good shepherd. And he proved it by giving his life for us. And by the way, you want to get practical this morning. You know what real men do? Real men stay. Real men gather. They don't scatter. Some people are so dysfunctional, they don't know how to feel at this time, so they tend to push people away from them. That's not how the body of Christ works. Real men care. It's describing a bad shepherd. And I'm sorry, some of you, you know, your dad bailed out on you, man. And you know what? It don't mean you suck. It does mean he does. But there's a good shepherd. He don't bail out on you. I've been in trouble in my life. I've even chosen sin in my life before. And God's never left. He stays. He cares. Well, I got some things to get ironed out for sure. But I'll wrap this thing up. I'll take you down to verse 27 and I'll wrap this up. I know I'm all over the place, but read this chapter. There's a lot of beautiful things in here about sheep and I just love it. Verse 27, he says this. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Them 3 points right there, just remember today. My sheep hear my voice. Are you part of the fold? Do you know the good shepherd? Have you met Jesus Christ? Then you're part of the sheepfold, right? My sheep, what do? They hear his voice. And guys, God's word, that's his voice. That's why if you're going to find a good church, you got to find a church that teaches the Bible, the good and the bad of the Bible. They teach the Bible as it is. But hear his voice. You can hear his voice. It's a privilege. Most people can't hear that voice. So my sheep, what do? It says, they hear my voice. And he says, I know them. To be known. He knows us. He knows me. Isn't it nice? I go, hey, I just got to see my dad here 2 weeks ago. And my dad's struggling dementia. He's old. He's on his deathbed. I walked into the back bedroom because he couldn't get out of bed. And it felt so good because there's always a fear in you that he's going to say, who is this? Yeah, that day's probably going to come, but I don't want that day to come. I walked in and my dad's got this real soft voice right now. He's like, hey, Mikey. It's my home. It's my father. And it felt so good. He knows me. He knows me. I want you to know something. The Lord, he knows you, man. I hope he knows your name. I hope you're part of the sheepfold. He gave his life for you and me. And what's verse 27 say here? It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And then it says this, they follow me. We talked about this last week. Be a follower of Jesus. Quit being a fan, you know. You guys remember that movie, Toy Story? Well, all 10 of them now. Toy Story, the musical. Don't laugh, they got one out. It's a cool little story, but I just really like, there's a part in there where there's that cowboy, Woody. He's just a rag cowboy and, you know, pull the string and all that. And then there's, you know, the Buzz Lightyear. He's that like astronaut looking space guy. And so the crazy thing is early in the movie, you know, Woody's this old raggedy toy. And then he gets these new, you know, the Buzz Lightyear, man. That's the popular toy. And Woody shouts at him at one point at the beginning of the movie. He says, you're not a space ranger. You're an action figure. You're a child's plaything. And Buzz Lightyear thought he was real. Later on in the movie, it's, you know, he goes along and Buzz Lightyear tries to fly and he falls, realizes he can't fly. And I mean, the truth starts setting in with him, who he really is. He thought he was real, you know. So he's got grief all over him. And at one point, he hangs his head in the movie and he says these words, I'm just a stupid, little, insignificant toy. That's what he calls himself. He thought he was some hero of the world. Later in the movie, Woody comes along and he comes to comfort him. And he says this, you must not be thinking clearly. He says, look over in that house. They look up and he said, there's a kid who thinks you're the greatest in there. And it's not because you're a space ranger. It's because you're his. And then do you remember the spot where Buzz lifted that shoe? And in the bottom of his foot, there's a little writing there in black permanent ink. And the boy's name, his owner's name is on the bottom of his shoe. And that's when he finally comes up with some determination and he smiles for the first time in a while in that movie. I'm here to tell you something. God loves you so much he gave a son for you. He'll own your life. Are you sick of wandering, not having a purpose? There's a sheepfold. And this is just, there's Christians all over the place. This is just one here in the Maple City Baptist Church. But the family of God, He said, if you accept Jesus Christ, you're in. He's done the work. It don't mean you have to be like this good girl or this good guy. No, he's good. He's the good shepherd. It don't say here, and the good sheep came along. No, it says the good shepherd. Sheep or sheep or sheep. They're dumb, they're ignorant, they don't do good by themselves. They're going to be eaten, they're going to be destroyed. And I just love how the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And guys, he pulls us in. And this morning, we all here together just listening to his voice. We recognize that voice. That voice. And it don't matter what you've done and where you've been this week. You're part of the fold this morning. And you're in here, the place of privilege, the place of protection. This morning and this morning's message, the main thing I wanted to communicate was this. It's a privilege to be part of the sheepfold. And we're here. We're together. We're protected. We're privileged. We got a shepherd that loves us. Ain't it good to be part of the family? It's good, man. I hope you leave today saying that. If you're not part of the family, and we want you to be, I'm talking about the family of God. If you're not a sheep, you know, he wants you to be. He's laying down his life for you. You know, he's the door. There's only one way in. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and guys, I spoke a lot at the beginning on belonging, being interconnected, intertwined. Some of you are missing that. You get saved, you get what? The Spirit of God. He gives you the Word of God. He gives you the Church of God. You need all three to be healthy. Some of you know him. You're Christians. And some of you have actually even been in the Word. You know what you're lacking? The fold. You're lacking us. The rest of us. We're a church. We do this together. So those three things. And so if you have any needs in your life, especially based upon this message, speak up after church. Say something to somebody. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's give him a shout of thanks. As you're bowing your heads, man, I hope you can look down at your heart and see a name inscribed there. Because you're his. If you know Jesus Christ, you're his. Don't buy into it. We are the world. We are the children, right? We're all children of God. Lie. That's not true. That is not true. But to be part of this gang, this group of people, you got to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then that makes you family. Knowing him, then, the Bible says, but as many as what received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you know him today? I hope you know him today. What about those of us that know him? Why don't we leave today and say, man, it's a privilege to know him, man. I love knowing him. I love these people I get to do church with, right? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for John chapter 10 and just all the things in there you taught about what a good shepherd is. And God, I just want to pray for the men in this room that they would want to be good dads like this, that we would all desire to be like you, that we would protect and that we would gather, that we would really care for those that are under in our fold. And I pray that, Lord, we would be that guy, right? And Lord, I pray everybody knows you, that they've entered through the door. There's one mediator between God and man. It's the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that everybody knows you. And God, I pray today we all leave here just with smiles on our faces, filled with hope and hugs for each other. Lord, thank you. Thanks, because you're an incredibly good shepherd. It's in your name we pray. Amen.